Good morning. Good morning. I would like to thank Bob for giving me this opportunity in North Street to serve. And I'll start out with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. And your word says it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, today may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you in your holy precious name. Amen. I believe the Bible is like a puzzle. And I'll be honest with you, my wife and our family, when we go on vacation, they like to put puzzles together. But I think it's a big waste of time. And the reason I say that, the Bible is like a puzzle. Some of us have to put the pieces together. And some of us, like me, when they're putting these literal puzzles together, think it's a big waste of time. Because it is. You have to put all those pieces together to really get the picture. And the picture is Christ. And he gives us a choice. Today I'm going to be talking about a choice, command, and then a challenge and some application. But in, if you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 11 and 13. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder, be desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The key word here, I think, is forsaken. And the definition of forsaken is to quit, leave entirely, abandon, or desert, to give up or renounce. Israel forsook the true God, the source of everything. In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus says, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Israel turned from God to substitutes that could not help. They turned to broken cisterns that held no water, which promised everything but yet provided nothing. This is an age-old problem. If you really look in the scriptures, we look at Adam and Eve. Their confidence was not in God. And if we go to Cain and Abel, and there's a lot of discussion about Cain and Abel, but I really believe that Abel, by faith in the Hebrews, says he offered a good sacrifice, and Cain brought what he thought was right. And it's interesting, later on in Cain's life, the item that he brought to God was the crops that he grew, and I believe he thought he grew them. So he brought what he thought he was bringing to God as a good work. And it's interesting, and the reason why I think it's interesting is later on, after the fruit of his work, he killed his brother. God told him that he would no longer be able to grow crops. So the very work that Cain thought he was doing, God said, "No, Cain. You're not the one that's grown those crops. I am. And I'll show you. You'll never grow them again." In Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaches to the council. He says, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit, you are doing just as your fathers did." In Proverbs it says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death." And Isaiah says, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." And in Proverbs chapter 22 it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, as Christians, We come into our spiritual life through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin, brought us to repentance, produced faith in us that we needed to respond to the gospel. The Spirit dwells in us. He baptizes us in the body of Christ. He seals us for eternal life. He separates us from sin. And the work of the Holy Spirit lifted us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And in Galatians, which I believe in some ways we can identify with this, the church today. Okay, we've talked about the past. But here's Paul talking to the Galatians, which I think we can talk to our church today. Paul writes, "Are you so foolish to have begun in the Spirit, you're now being perfected by the flesh?" I guess the question comes down to is the bottom line is, are we going to come to God on His terms or ours? And I love the series that Bob talked about this summer. And one of those things, we make our own little gods. And some of those gods were the gods that we think, and in my own life, was a god of the genie. And that's really how God got my attention. My circumstances were that I was in need of a healing. And God was more interested in my spiritual healing than my physical healing. And He let me go through things. And during that time, I mean, I got really religious. I was reading my Bible every day. You know, it's kind of interesting. The Bible, Jesus said to some people, "You search the Scriptures to find eternal life." That was me. I wasn't interested in serving God. I was interested in Him serving me. So, God put me through that, and I know I've shared this before, but I didn't get my healing, and I basically said, excuse my French, to hell with God. And I just went my own way. So God had to kind of work me through this and get the idea that He was here for me to serve Him, not for me, for Him to serve me. You know, last year's verse, and God has a journey, you talk about the puzzle, all the pieces put together. Well, some of those pieces were put together. And to be honest with you, I probably only have maybe 50% of it put together. But I can see Christ in this. And I don't know where you are in your journey, but I've come to the point where I realize that I know a lot less than I know. I used to think I knew a lot more. God's teaching you all the time. But last year's verse was to get the board out of my own eye before I start taking the speck out of my brother's. There's a lot to do over here. And I'm saying that not because I'm trying to judge anybody else. I'm just saying, you know, if we would just start working on our own lives. I remember when we did a series on growing kids God's way. The pastor said, you know, I don't want you guys going out and taking all these tapes and giving them to everybody else. You know what I want you to do? I want you to go home and apply it, and people will come to you if you have changed children. It's the same thing. You know, if we work on ourselves and change ourselves, people will come to you because you're a different person. If we're actually filled with the Holy Spirit. So my verse this year is to walk in the Spirit. You know, there's things that we need to do in Ephesians. And I'll go real quick through these. But it says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you are called. Get out of place here. It's 2 Corinthians says, as the Lord has assigned each one of you as God has called, each in this manner let him walk. You know, it was really interesting. We were in Mexico. You know, what I really like this is when we got our job assignments, it was really neat. He gave us an assignment. You go over here and cut wood. You do this, you do that. And you know what? That's what we did. And no one bickered about, how come I don't get to cut wood? Or why don't I get to stir concrete? Walk in the Spirit. God has assigned us, each one of us, something to do. Let's go about and do it. And we're walking in the Spirit. That's what we'll do. Walk by faith, not by sight. Ephesians 2 says, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians says, walk no longer as Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, Keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life. We walk in separate from sin. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was getting ready for a wilderness trip. Dave, you'll identify with that. I didn't want to be one of the guys that halfway through this trip, because we had to walk 75 miles, be one of somebody else carrying my bag. So about 3 or 4 months beforehand, we lived on in Ransenden, so I would do my like a 4 or 5 mile walk. And maybe you guys think this is stupid or whatever, but what was funny about this whole thing, or what God used as an illustration to me, was I started walking down this road that I had driven. I'd lived there for 20 years. And I saw a house that I'd never seen before. And I stopped and I thought, you know, God's used that time. And like I say, it's a stupid little story. But, you know, when we walk, instead of being so busy and running around, we see things that sometimes we never saw before. So when we walk in the Spirit, instead of running in the Spirit, God shows us things. Sensitive to people, shows us where we're gifted. And I love the illustration Chuck used here a couple of weeks ago in one of the breakfasts. And I love these analogies. He was talking about the fact that throughout his life he struggled with where God wanted him. And I'll probably mess up his story, but what I got from it was, he's like, when he got saved, he was going to be the next Jimmy Swaggart. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be whatever. And then every attempt he failed miserably. And he said, he saw a program where there was this, I think it was orangutan, and it was the chief orangutan. And there was this young orangutan that thought he was going to be the chief. And this older orangutan put him in his place. And Chuck was saying, you know, finally, I'm coming over and sitting where I'm supposed to sit now. And I thought that was so neat. That God will raise you up or he'll bring you down. But he's the one that gives us our assignment. You know, and it's kind of interesting. One of the things we say, I don't know if that's fair. You know, that's what I love about the Scriptures. You can find every application in there. You can find an illustration that fits it. In John, when Jesus restored Peter, he told him, feed my sheep. Right after that, I just think that's a neat Scripture where Jesus was telling Peter, well, you're going to be led around, you know, basically by the neck, or you're going to have be crucified. And it wasn't even more than 2 seconds later, Peter said, he points to John, well, what about him? Isn't that us? I mean, it's like, well, God, why? You know, and there's an illustration of a lady one time said, you know, one of the things we shouldn't be asking, why me? We shouldn't say, why not me? That's the walking in the Spirit. God, why not me? Am I not strong enough? And there's times in our lives we go through things that sometimes we wonder, if we look back, we wonder, boy, how did I get through that? And that's where, as we walk through and have this journey with God, we can be like David, face the Goliath. Because you know why? Because if we're walking in the Spirit and we see God having victory and victory, victory, we're victorious. We have a pattern. David said, I can face this Goliath. You know why? Because God has already rescued me from the bear and the lion. I mean, everyday life, he's been there. What am I concerned about? Now, okay, we said, we're saying here's the choice, and the command is to walk in the Spirit. We do have a conflict. And it's our flesh. I want us to turn to Galatians chapter, I think it's 5. I have 3 here, but it's Galatians chapter 5. Okay, the question is sometimes we need to ask, why don't we walk in the Spirit? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. And it's verses 17 and 18. my verses, chapters, or 5, 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, that's easy to say, but much harder to live out. I don't know about you, but John MacArthur says this: your flesh wants to control you. Your actions, your thoughts, and your feelings. It wants to create anger, hostility, bitterness, jealousy, envy, and strife. It wants you to fear, doubt, and even hate God. It wants your life full of guilt, your marriage destroyed, your house wrecked, your relations ruined. It wants to make you useless to God. The only hope of overcoming the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. Human solutions cannot solve what are fundamentally spiritual problems. Victorious Christian living is achieved by walking in the Spirit. And I think years ago there was a gentleman I knew that smoked. He wanted to quit smoking. This illustrates it to me, and I'll share my own personal struggles. But in this particular one, anybody that has smoked and tried to quit smoking, I think can identify where the flesh controls you. In this particular case, they told him, I said, listen, if you're going to go into this smoking rehab, what you have to do is, and we know what smokers do, they have a smoke somewhere they can run to. So if you want to get rid of the one that's in the desk drawer, third one down at the back, you need to get rid of it. All in the glove compartment or whatever, you need to get rid of every one of them. If you don't agree to that, then you might as well leave, because you're wasting your money, you're wasting your time and mine. They said, oh yeah, I agree. So about a week or so, I don't know how long later, but middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, Dennis, I was like, I need a smoke, and I want it now. So he gets up, and he thinks, well, wait a minute. I mean, just think of this. Here's a guy that's a professional and very articulate. And he said, I would have dragged my mother down the steps. I mean, I was just out of control. I could get down, look in every place. I think, all right, did I forget one? I left one here before. Oh, there's nothing there. He goes out to the car, pulls out ashtrays just to get one. And this is when he came to his senses. He's outside on the street looking for a butt that somebody snuffed out so he could light. All right, we say, oh, that's awful. Well, that's how out of control. Well, but again, okay, can we identify with some of that? I mean, this whole thing about what our flesh will do to us. My latest one, to be honest with you, is I have a tendency sometimes to get lazy. I don't know about any of you. I get lazy and, oh, I'll come home from work. Oh, I'll just take that 1 hour nap. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, after this, doing this sermon, I'm not taking any more naps. I'm going to take this body under control. But I slipped yesterday, you know. But you know, we laugh, but I don't know what you guys struggle with. I know Bob has shared the illustration of don't... What do you say, Bob, as far as don't give yourself ammunition for it? Not ammunition, but prepare or... I can't remember. Okay. Oh. But anyway, it was your RB thing. Oh, okay. You kind of provide the way, and then you say, oh, I can overcome this, and you fall right into it. Okay, now, one of the things that if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And I want to turn to Romans chapter 6. In here it's saying the flesh has been put to death. It's part of our past. But some of us are foolish enough to carry that dead corpse around. You know, it's like you've been in jail and the key has been open and the jail door is open and you still stay in jail. You've been released. Go. So Romans chapter 6. Starting with verse 6. Sorry about that. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Okay, now here's the key verse in here. Okay, we can understand that, but the next verse is the one that we need to memorize. It says, even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And here's the best way to illustrate that. My aunt died Thursday, and we had her service yesterday. And her dead body was in that casket. And a pastor illustrated this to me one time, and I thought, yeah, that's a good illustration, because I like analogies. He said, you know, if you go into a morgue or go up to a dead body and spit on it, what do you think its response is going to be? Let's say you start cussing them out, calling it names, telling it how rotten you've been to me all my life, or kick it a few times, take a gun out and shoot it. What's the response? Nothing. Okay, now let's read this verse. Again, we're to be a dead body. The body's dead. We're dead to sin. It says you should reckon yourself dead to sin. We're dead. We're alive in Christ. Sin is no longer reigning in us. So should not let sin control us. We're reckoning it dead. But so many times, I think that we allow this world, and we can talk about different things, but in all reality, if going back to my puzzle analogy, if we don't put all these pieces up together, we just say, status quo. I was listening to somebody just here recently. He said, you know, I've heard just about every sermon. You know, I pretty much have got it. That's status quo. I don't think God ever wants us to go status quo. Because you know what? There's going to be times He'll wake us up then and put us somewhere where He'll get us attention. So, walking by the Spirit means, one, that we need to acknowledge that we may be doing something wrong. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know if anybody's in here perfect and doesn't need to work on anything. And the next thing we need to do is stop blaming other people. You know, it's kind of interesting. You go back into the garden. What is the very first, talk about application. What is the very first thing that Eve and Adam did? When God confronted them with their sin? No, it was that woman. And that's basically a lot of times where we write. You know, we don't accept the responsibility ourselves. I remember a missionary came to our church one time, and he was the part of the basketball team. He was a coach, and he told one of his players, you know, you need confession of sin would make you a better basketball player. A basketball player? What are you talking about? He goes, well, here's the problem. See, you don't acknowledge you have any problems, so you don't work on them. But if you'd go out there and say, listen, it wasn't that guy's fault that threw the ball down here that I missed the basket. I need to learn and confess I missed the basket. I need to learn to shoot a basket from this point, not have a perfect pass every time, and blame him when I don't. And how many of us go around blaming other people? The other is to take it personally, our pride. You know, a couple weeks ago, Bob passed out a Live Again was a two-sided thing. I think, to be honest with you, if we worked on that this year, that would be a nice homework assignment. As far as how much pride sometimes is in us, and we take things personally. When we walk in the Spirit, we're dead to those things. And you know, the other thing is, we don't acknowledge a problem, we blame others, and we take it personally. And the next thing is, we quit. We give up trying. But see, I read in Scripture, it says, a righteous man falls seven times, what's he do? He gets right back up. I don't know about you guys, but that's the kind of person I like. They don't quit. And two of the things that I hopefully my grandchildren will never forget from their grandfather is to do your best and never quit. So, how do we go from here? You know, just like I tell my wife about, you know, we need to start. The Scripture says today is the day, not tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. That's that laziness, procrastination part of this. Oh, we'll get to that someday. We'll start that tomorrow. But you know, today is the day we need to start. We're going to walk in the Spirit today. And you know, the other thing is, we need almost to develop a passion or an anger about your present situation. You know, one of the things in child raising is this. It's kind of interesting. Dr. Dawson will say, you know, you can go through this whole issue with raising your kids. He said, and I could identify with this, where you know, you tell Landon, you need to go to bed. It's 8 o'clock. He's sitting there. Landon, you need to get to bed. Then it's Landon James Muir, if you're at the bed right now. But you know when why he went to bed then? Guess what? I was mad. And you know, sometimes anger, walking in the Spirit is a good thing. It's a passion that now you'll do something about it. Right? Yeah, who cares? But if you're mad, I'm tired of this. Isn't that exactly what it does in Romans 8? It says you groan within. It's like Paul said, you know, what is this wretched man that I am? I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things. He was mad. He was calling out to God, saying, I don't understand this. And we need to do it for God's glory. You know, I really believe that the church, and I told this to Bob before, I sort of have a hate relationship and a love relationship with myself and the church. There's things that just drive me crazy. But there's things that drive me crazy about myself too. So it's not... I'm just saying, we just need to just walk in that Spirit. You and the world will be amazed. In the Truth Series, just recently, he was talking about labor. I don't know if all of you have seen that, but he was sharing this illustration about labor, okay? He said, there's two businessmen that just got together at lunch. And one guy says, you know what happened today? I hired a Christian. And they're all, oh, really? You did? Where did you find him? I would like to hire one. Why? Because this guy was saying, if we are working out and walking in the Spirit, we're going to submit to that guy. We're going to work the hardest. We're going to stay there. We're going to do our best. And it falls into the church. I mean, there's all kinds of applications there, right? We start walking in the Spirit. And you will give God, God will get the glory, and men will be changed. Isn't that exactly what happened in Acts? So then we need to write down our plan, okay? We can sit here and say, start today, set a time frame, determine a daily dose. I think that's really good. This did not come from any scriptural thing. This came from my 10 list or 11 points here. It came from a guy training salesmen and saying how they can become a better salesman. And I always tell people, you know, I'm a salesman for Penn United, but my first job is a salesman for the Lord. And when I go out, and I know as far as a businessman, you're not supposed to talk about the Lord or politics, but, you know, that's a myth. People want to hear about the Lord. But anyway, he's determined a daily dose. Look for substitutes. Let's say there's something that gets you in your way. Look for a substitute instead of doing those things. And don't quit if you slip. Post your goals and tell other people, help you hold accountable to it. And it's a day-by-day process, and that's the thing we have to remember. God is busy at molding, shaping us, and you know He's not going to change us. We didn't get to the place where we were today in a day. And you know that's the issue. God needs to just keep working you. And you know, again, you don't need to quit. You need to start there. So, God has given us a choice. And Joshua said, you know, I'm going to choose to serve the Lord. The challenge is to overcome the flesh. And my challenge to you, and all, this sermon was probably, to be honest with you, more for me than you. The challenge to Dennis Muir is to walk by the Spirit. Amen.